The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Christy Walters from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. For this week's edition of the Triangle Business Journal, dated December 5th through 11th, our cover story is titled The State of Aging. North Carolina's senior population is exploding as the youngest boomers hit retirement age. Are businesses prepared? Taking senior housing to a new level, home builders race to meet the housing needs of an aging population. For Bob and Nancy Hunter, selling their home of 51 years in the mountains of North Carolina and moving to an independent senior living facility in Raleigh was a no-brainer. Bob and I were where we didn't want to have to need to be somewhere. We wanted to be there because we wanted to be, and we could still have outside activities, and he could go to all the Carolina games, and I could see family here, and I wasn't having to depend on the shuttle to take me places, Nancy Hunter said. It was a choice they made for themselves first and foremost, and then for their kids second, so that when the time comes, their adult children don't have to figure out how to pay for care or where to go for care or even have a giant house that has to be sorted through, cleaned out, and sold. Hayes Barton Place was the right location for the Hunters, an active married couple in their 80s. Retirement hasn't slowed them down. They have season tickets to UNC Chapel Hill games, serve in the Raleigh community, and are part of various clubs. Half the time, they're traveling, whether to Europe or to their daughter's house on the Pamlico River in Bath for a fishing trip. Moving into Hayes Barton 8 months ago, they knew they were getting a built-in community loaded with programming and events that meant they never had to be alone if they didn't want to be. Bob Hunter describes it as, there's more stuff than you can possibly do, including art and exercise classes, pickleball, shuffleboard, guest speakers, a greenhouse for planting, or movie nights in the theater room. The facility is like a Ritz-Carlton. Nancy describes the building as the Carolina Inn on steroids, he said. And on top of that active lifestyle, they are worry-free of home maintenance, so when they travel, they don't have to worry about turning off the water or arranging for someone to get the mail. There is no lawn or garden to constantly maintain. They moved from a 3,500-square-foot mountain home in Marion to a 1,565-square-foot apartment where if something breaks or leaks, the maintenance team is on top of it. The lifestyle and way of thinking is exactly what Triangle developers and home builders are considering as they scramble to keep up with the aging population. Residential communities aimed at residents aged 65 and up are opening up all over the region as the senior population increases at a rapid rate. By 2030, there will be more than 300,000 people aged 65 and up in the Triangle, a 34% jump from 2023, according to the NC State Demographer's Office. Home builders are building age-restricted communities for homebuyers ages 55 and up. In addition, the trend of creating primary floor living, primary bedroom, primary bathroom, kitchen, living room, and laundry all on the first floor, in single-family homes has increased as home builders provide more convenient living for seniors who don't want to live in strictly senior living communities. Epcon Communities out of Ohio is a home builder that builds single-level homes aimed at seniors. Some of its communities are age-restricted, while others are for all while still providing stair-free living for seniors. It has 4 communities in the Triangle and 15 overall in the state, numbers that have ramped up in the past few years. North Carolina is a state that Epcon has zeroed in on, particularly Raleigh and Charlotte. North Carolina is a big focus for us for a number of reasons. People coming here for more affordability from the Northeast, lower tax rates. And then also Zonda does something called the Baby Chaser Index, and Charlotte and Raleigh are always near the top of that list for that, said Paul Hansen, regional president at EPCON. There are so many jobs here, and then Charlotte for younger people, that older adults are chasing their kids to be near their grandkids and relocating to North Carolina for that reason, he said. The Hunters are part of that baby chasing, as one of the biggest reasons they settled in Raleigh and chose Hayes Barton Place is because one of their daughters and her family lives about 2 miles from the senior living community. Their other daughter and her family live in Florida. While EPCON focuses on providing independent senior living where people can age in place, other companies are intent on bringing full-service facilities to the region. Pruitt Health has a continuing care retirement community in Raleigh that is expanding. Its $385 million redevelopment of the Oaks at Whittaker Glen will have 245 independent living units, 82 assisted living units, and 106 skilled nursing units, including memory care. The community provides everything from independent living to assisted living to skilled nursing to a memory care unit. In addition, Pruitt Health is adding more retail and restaurant options on site for residents. By 2029, Wake County is projected to have more residents over the age of 60 than children under the age of 18. And statewide, the 65-plus population is expected to double by 2040, reaching $2.7 million people. This is no different than a lot of the markets that we operate in, Pruitt Health CEO Neil Pruitt said. But Raleigh is unique in that there's not a lot of product out there to meet the needs and expectations of these demographics. And what I mean by that is there are senior care facilities, there are continuing care retirement communities, but they are aging. The entire Triangle area has about 20 CCRCs, including Hayes Barton Place, and there are 66 in the state. It's another reason the Hunters chose to be where they are now. I wanted to be proactive. I didn't want my back against the wall. Then, if either one of us maybe has mobility problems or issues and so forth, I wanted to make that decision while I could still make it well, Nancy Hunter said. I think a lot of people have the idea that you don't make those choices until you need to. And my position is you make the choices before you need to. I don't want my children having to give up their lives to live my life too and take care of me. That was the way I felt. I want to give that as my gift to my children. Our next article continues with the state of aging topic and talks about health systems. Health systems prep for seniors. An aging population drives billions in medical investments. Major healthcare providers in the Triangle are competing to expand existing and build new facilities as the population ages, potentially straining hospitals and other services over the coming years. In August, several of the state's most prominent healthcare providers, Duke Health, UNC Health, Wake Med, and Winston-Salem-based Novant Health, filed proposals to collectively invest billions in building new hospitals or expanding existing facilities. The applications were in response to the 2025 State Medical Facilities Plan, which identifies a need for 267 more hospital beds in Wake County. The applications also underscore the growing demand driven by population growth and aging. In its proposal to develop a new 50-bed acute care hospital in Wake Forest at an estimated cost of over $485 million, UNC Health cites the large and fast-growing aging population in Wake and Franklin counties. In addition to strong population growth, both Wake and Franklin counties are aging, a key indicator as older residents utilize health care services more frequently than younger residents, the health system said in its application. North Carolina hospitals are already grappling with high occupancy rates. Dr. Richard Luchter, a physician and researcher at UCLA, published research earlier this year in JAMA Network Open that shows that hospital occupancy in the U.S. between May 2023 and April 2024 was around 75%, with North Carolina tracking even higher at around 80%. It wouldn't take major events for this rate to increase even further to 85%, a rate associated with a bed shortage. Luchter said the simple aging of the country's population could push the national hospital occupancy to this threshold, assuming no other steps were taken to divert the situation over the next few years. All it would really take is the aging U.S. population alone and the fact that they require up to five times as many hospitalizations of their younger counterparts, Luchter said. When you factor that in, the silver tsunami and the increased need for hospital beds, that would push us to a hospital bed shortage at 85%. Health systems in the Triangle are pouring millions into new medical facilities and fiercely competing for limited hospital beds as the population ages. Novant, in its pitch to establish a stronger foothold in the Triangle with a 26-bed hospital in Knightdale, highlights these demographic trends. Acute care discharges for patients in the four zip codes in eastern Wake County that make up the project's primary service area have increased by about 7% annually each of the past 3 years. The Novant Health Knightdale service area is expected to experience significant population growth and aging in the near term, further driving demand for acute care services, Novant said in its application. It is not just hospitals. Health systems are bringing other services online to meet the needs of an aging population. In September, WakeMed secured approval to develop a new outpatient facility in Rollsville, totaling 32,000 square feet with a freestanding emergency department, diagnostic imaging, and laboratory services. It is important to note the rapid annual growth of the elderly population, 65 and up, in Wake and Franklin counties, WakeMed said in its application. This exponential growth is especially important because elderly populations utilize acute care services at much higher rates than any other age group. The nearly $54 million project brings additional health care services to a fast-growing and aging area. This facility will become WakeMed's sixth healthplex after recently securing approval to build a similar facility in Fuquay Varina and opening a healthplex in Wendell in early 2024. Other types of providers are also expanding services to meet the existing and future demand associated with this population. In June, Raleigh Radiology, for example, submitted two separate applications to the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services to add new MRI scanners to its facilities on Blue Ridge Road in Raleigh and its Holly Springs Clinic. The practice, in its application, says that 40.2% of patients served at the clinic over the past year were 65 and older. Meanwhile, that population only makes up 14.9% of the people living in the clinic's service area. Referrals for MRI and CT scans are a key driver of revenue growth for Lumexa Imaging, formerly U.S. Radiology Specialists, a Raleigh-based company that operates more than 180 outpatient imaging centers across 13 states. During the first 9 months of the year, 63% of the company's system-wide revenue, which totaled $755 million, came from its advanced imaging services, according to a recent securities filing related to the company's plans to go public. Beyond facilities, the Triangle's aging population is driving demand for healthcare workers, a challenge for a sector already facing staffing shortages. Between 2022 and 2032, North Carolina's healthcare and social assistance sector is expected to add nearly 102,000 jobs, outpacing every other sector in terms of job creation. Most of these jobs, about 47,400, are projected to be in ambulatory health settings, with another 40,000 in hospitals. The remaining positions include social assistance and nursing and residential care facilities. When we talk about the demand for healthcare workers, the people who are providing those services for our older populations, we're seeing that need across the board, across different occupations, said Jonathan Guarin, an economist with the North Carolina Department of Commerce. Continuing with our State of Aging special report, in Brunswick County, the silver tsunami heads for the coast. North Carolina's fastest growing county is the oldest by a mile. Today, more than one in three residents in Brunswick County are aged 65 or older. Within 15 years, more than half of the county's population will be eligible for Medicare. Not only is Brunswick County the fastest growing county in North Carolina, it is also the oldest, proportionally, by a mile. And that silver tsunami coming for the coast isn't slowing down anytime soon. More than 180,000 people are expected to die in Brunswick County between 2030 and 2060, according to projections from the North Carolina State Demographer's Office. During that same time period, the number of babies born in the county is expected to be roughly one-fifth that death total. This means the county is expected to have a natural decrease of deaths, natural decrease, or deaths outpacing births. Yet, over those 30 years, Brunswick County's population is expected to grow by 108,000. You can have natural decrease and still have pretty rapid growth, said Mike Klein, state demographer of North Carolina. Brunswick County is an example of this. It's a retirement destination. Home builders and residential real estate developers have told Triangle Business Journal throughout the year that North Carolina, and especially Brunswick County, is capitalizing on a halfback trend. Halfbackers are people who retired from a northern state like New York to Florida, decided it wasn't for them, and then moved halfway back. The Carolinas are often seen as that halfway point on the East Coast, and coastal counties like Brunswick offer similar warm and beachy climates that retirees seek out in Florida. And a major selling point, Brunswick County's home prices are cheaper than those of many Florida retirement destinations. The average home value in Brunswick County as of October is $406,433, according to the most recent estimates from Zillow. Meanwhile, for two popular retirement areas in Florida, Collier County and Palm Beach County, the average home values are $551,913 and $460,550, respectively, per Zillow. Beyond relative affordability, retirees are also drawn to the county's lifestyle and amenities. Brunswick County is full of master planned communities with golf courses, walking trails, and social clubs, features that appeal to older adults seeking an active, low-maintenance retirement. The county's proximity to major medical centers in Wilmington and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, is another selling point, as is the ability for many halfbackers to live closer to adult children and grandchildren in the Carolinas and surrounding states. Amy Causey, a Brunswick County native who is the executive director of Arbor Landing at Ocean Isle, a 100-resident community that includes independent living, assisted living, and memory care for seniors, said that the facility currently has more than 100 residents and every portion of it has a wait list. Approximately half of our residents move to Arbor Landing from out of state when their adult children decide to retire to one of the nearby beaches or golf communities, Causey said. 2025 has been one of our very best years. Our community is full with a waiting list, enabling us to continue to provide trusted care for our residents and a great place to work for our team members. Name any big national home builder and they're likely either working on a project, recently purchased land, or eyeing future opportunities in Brunswick County. In March, Lennar purchased 300 acres in the town of Shalott for $10 million, with the land previously being approved for a subdivision with 570 single-family homes. A month later, D.R. Horton spent nearly $9 million for dozens of acres in the town of Leland, also with plans for a new neighborhood. D.R. Horton is so bullish on the wave of retirees hitting Brunswick County that Pat Fitzgerald, city manager for D.R. Horton's Wilmington division, told TBJ earlier this year that the nation's largest home builder expects to close nearly 1,700 homes in the county over the next 2 years. The home building rush is only going to accelerate. South Carolina-based Contender Development purchased roughly 1,500 acres for $35 million late last year for a 3,600-home project called Midway Landing. And a few months ago, Strategic Real Estate Partners, a real estate firm based in Atlanta with a presence in Charlotte, submitted a site plan that calls for a massive planned development with about 12,500 homes on 4,400 acres in the county. All this could lead to tens of thousands of homes in the coming years, continuing the momentum of the prior 10 years. Brunswick County staff said at the start of this year that since 2015, more than 53,000 housing units have been approved. Current and future Brunswick County seniors aren't just funding demand for housing. They're also creating demand for increased health care facilities in the county. Responding to this demand, Novant Health, a major health system headquartered in Winston-Salem, filed an application with the Department of Health and Human Services this fall to build a $251 million, 142,260-square-foot hospital on a 40-acre site in Leland. Novant also began construction earlier this year on a 16,000-square-foot outpatient surgery center in Leland and recently filed an application for 11,165-square-foot freestanding emergency department in Carolina Shores, which is another town in Brunswick County. These additional healthcare facilities are welcomed by Arbor Landing and Ocean Isles Causey, who said, "We need to expand our healthcare options." There are already plans to build new emergency departments on both ends of the county in Carolina Shores and Leland, which will help, but we also need more primary care providers and more specialists, she said. Wait times for new patients and sometimes even existing patients are getting longer, and retirees do not want to drive long distances for the care that they need. Let's switch gears just a minute. In this week's Triangle Business Journal, Christmas trees give buyers a break. Supply and prices should be reasonable as holiday shoppers look for trees. At a time when prices are surging, here's a bit of a Christmas miracle. The price of popular North Carolina trees is relatively stable. Fraser firs thrive at altitudes above 2,500 feet, so the North Carolina mountains are fertile ground for the holiday favorites. The state ranks second nationally to Oregon when it comes to Christmas tree production. The industry has had its challenges. Many farms went out of business in the Great Recession, and once trees matured around 2018, holiday shoppers were hit with higher prices and skimpier options. Hurricane Helene had an impact in 2024. Although trees grow at the higher elevations, getting the trees off the mountains was a challenge. This year, two agricultural extension agents at North Carolina State University, who specialize in the Christmas tree industry, said options should be plentiful for consumers at reasonable prices, even though labor costs and other costs, such as fertilizer, have risen. And that's significant, as artificial trees could be priced 15 to 20% higher due to tariffs. As Will Colway IV noted, the North Carolina trees are guaranteed tariff-free. Jamie Bookwalter said that, according to the most recent data from 2022, there are 940 farms in the state producing trees, up from 854 in 2017. Overall, the state felled 3.2 million trees in 2022. The industry does face challenges. Bookwalter said the price of land in the mountains, especially in places such as Boone, has meant vacation condos are growing faster than the farms, and the farmers themselves are aging. You get a bunch of farmers in a room, and it's mostly people in their 60s and 70s, Bookwalter said. But as far as this year, expect a good supply and reasonable prices as the holidays approach. The tree growers, Colway said, want people to have a tree in their home. Everybody who wants a tree should be able to get one. Here's an article from this week's Triangle Business Journal about Wolfspeed. We've been talking about that a lot in recent months. Wolfspeed lands much-needed $700 million refund. Durham semiconductor manufacturer Wolfspeed now has a $1.5 billion cash balance and shares trending upward after receiving a nearly $700 million tax refund, but challenges remain in its comeback attempt. The company on December 1st said it received $698.6 million in cash tax refunds from the Internal Revenue Service. The refunds are tied to the Advancement Manufacturing Investment Credit created by the Federal CHIPS Act passed in 2022. The credit equals 25% of qualified investments in advanced manufacturing facilities. The money comes as Wolfspeed seeks to regain its standing after emerging from Chapter 11 bankruptcy in September, a move that wiped billions in debt from the company's books, but also put it under the control of its creditors. More than $192 million from the tax refund will go toward retiring $175 million in outstanding debt. The rest will be used for general corporate purposes, according to the company. In a statement, Gregor Van Isum, the company's new chief financial officer, said the cash further strengthens our liquidity position at a critical phase in Wolfspeed's strategic evolution. It provides us with the financial agility to support long-term growth, manage our capital structure responsibly, and continue driving innovation across the silicon carbide value chain for our customers, he said in a release. Wolfspeed did not respond for further comment. The company has invested billions in its Chatham County factory, a facility once expected to create 1,800 jobs. The factory is being operated by a small crew after the company laid off a third of the plant's workforce earlier this year. Last month, CEO Robert Fuhrl said the plant will ramp up operations as demand calls for it. It's really important that we're not getting ahead of ourselves again, he said. Silicon carbide, the material Wolfspeed specializes in, is used to make semiconductors that handle higher voltages, temperatures, and efficiency levels than traditional silicon. Here's an article from the Economic and Development and Aviation section of this week's Triangle Business Journal. Apple still quietly grows in North Carolina despite hiccups. Apple has grown its headcount in North Carolina despite delaying plans to build a campus in Research Triangle Park. Documents released November 25th by the North Carolina Department of Commerce show Apple has about 1,630 full-time employees in North Carolina. The figure was included in a motion to reset the company's job creation timelines linked to the $800 million incentives package the state approved in 2021 when Apple announced its intention to build a 3,000-job campus in RTP. Last year, Apple hit pause on those plans, but the company, based in Cupertino, California, still appears to be committed to the project, even though work has not started at the site located off Lewis Stevens Drive and Little Drive. Last year, the company told Triangle Business Journal it was working with the state to extend the timeline for the project by 4 years. On November 25th, the state formally agreed to the 4-year extension. What that means is Apple has more time to meet investment and hiring milestones. North Carolina Commerce Secretary Lee Lilly, speaking with TBJ earlier this year, said his team talks to Apple frequently and views the long-delayed project as a success, regardless of what ultimately happens in RTP. They have never hedged on it in any meeting that I've been in with them, and the only thing that they've asked for is a little bit more time to be able to bring that to fruition, Lilly said in May. It's unclear what Apple's current headcount is in the Triangle, but at the time Lilly said Apple had created 800 jobs at the MetLife campus in Cary, where the company has been leasing space, along with an office building in Durham. The initial economic incentives deal called for the company to create 378 jobs in the region by the end of last year and 990 jobs by the end of 2025. Targets were to increase to require the company to create at least 2,700 jobs by 2032. With the change made last month, 2027 will now be the first year for the hiring targets. RTP 3.0 takes steps toward facelift. The Durham County Board of Commissioners has unanimously approved amending Research Triangle Park's zoning district to allow for RTP 3.0, paving the way for the private side to make final decisions. The Research Triangle Foundation Board of Directors and RTP Owners and Tenants Association have already been working on draft regulations. The new zoning amendments from Wake and Durham counties, Wake County approved the amended zoning in June, will take effect January 1, 2026. We are now at the point where we have draft regulations that the counties are comfortable with, which were useful in convincing the counties that the rezoning was appropriate. We still have a couple more rounds with owners and tenants to perfect those regulations, said Scott Levitin, president and CEO of RTF. Now, the RTF Board and the Owners and Tenants Association must address 3 items: new land covenants, enhanced development standards, and revised design guidelines. Levitin said a built planning board and design review board will be installed with 8 appointed members each. The private side of the process is expected to be complete by summer 2026. Once that is finished, property owners will be able to apply for development under the new enhanced entitlements. If a property owner wants to develop under the new allowed uses, the owner would apply to the planning board and submit a proposal consistent with the new regulations. Once the planning board approves a proposal, the owner would need to submit a site plan, work through the site review process, and apply for building permits with the appropriate county. In January, the RTP Owners and Tenants Association voted to revise the park's land covenants, which was the first step in the process. Now let's hop over to retail and restaurants, where Trophy Brewing taps 5 points. Just in time for the holidays, residents of Raleigh's 5 Points neighborhood have a new restaurant and watering hole. Trophy Brewing Company has opened Trophy 5 Points in the former Electric Supply Company warehouse at 207 Bickett Boulevard. The space features a 22,000-square-foot tap room, restaurant, and extensive outdoor space. The project started in 2023 following the sale of the building for $4 million. Being a part of this neighborhood has always been in the back of our mind, and when the opportunity popped up and it seemed like we could purchase this building, we had to go for it, Trophy Brewing co-owner Chris Powers said. The team at Trophy originally intended to use part of the space for beer production. However, restrictions on the building and lack of accessibility for large grain delivery trucks made production plans stall out. Instead, the company decided to utilize the whole space as a community hub, restaurant, and tap room. In 2026, Trophy 5 Points will open a 9,000-square-foot game room, complete with 4 duck pin bowling lanes, 2 golf simulators, vintage arcade games, and a large projection screen for sports. During its busiest seasons, Trophy will employ between 50 to 60 people. Chef John Amaro's menu includes pizza, salads, appetizers, and desserts, including a beer-infused version of tiramisu. Bartenders will serve Trophy beer on tap, in addition to wine and cocktails. The opening comes as 5 Points continues to evolve with the demolition and construction of new homes throughout the neighborhood. The new restaurant, which joins other Trophy tap rooms on West Morgan Street and Maywood Avenue in Raleigh, is a big part of Trophy's business model. Powers expects about half the revenue from Trophy 5 Points to come from food sales. Here's a special article under the Project Life heading. A new era for mental health care. Wake Med is running strong on its campaign to raise $50 million and open a whole health campus combining mental and physical health care. Absolute silence. That was the response from other health care providers when Wake Med applied for a certificate of need to build a mental health hospital in Garner. In a market known for its competitive posturing regarding CON approvals to expand healthcare services, the quiet was a deafening testament to the reality that despite incredible need for mental health care, the costs are difficult to pencil. In any given month, some 1,200 patients come to a WakeMed emergency department seeking help for a mental health issue. Last year, that equated to 1 in 8 patients in a WakeMed ED who were experiencing a mental health crisis or substance use disorder emergency. And the need for mental health care spans every community. Nationwide, around 5,200 of every 100,000 ED visits in October were for mental health issues, according to the Centers for Disease Control, a statistic that is held across 2025. Addressing the crisis extends beyond the emergency department. In many cases, people need to be admitted for inpatient care, which has been true for a third of those at Wake Med, but beds are in short supply. Every time we ask for more beds or try to build a tower, it's been disputed. But when we applied for the CON for this hospital, it was dead silence, because this is not the moneymaker, said Margaret Bratton, co-chair of the WakeMed Foundation's Courage to Confront Crisis campaign. Bratton, who is in her second term on the WakeMed Hospital Board of Directors, said the campaign to construct the WakeMed Mental Health and Well-Being Hospital is not only about raising $50 million, but also about destigmatizing the conversation around mental health. When she tells people about the campaign, Bratton is not looking to immediately have a transactional meeting. It's relationship-oriented, and our first conversation is always more personal. Is this something they might be interested in supporting, she said. almost without exception, by the second or third conversation, she's hearing an intimate story of why someone feels allegiance to support the campaign. A family member, a close friend, a colleague. Everyone has a connection to the need for mental health care. We hear story after story about people that don't know where to go, that can't find a good place for mental health care, Bratton said, adding that her own story is that of an older brother who has suffered with mental illness throughout his life and continues to struggle to find care in Georgia. I'm convinced if he'd had the kind of care and been in the kind of place like this hospital is going to be, then he wouldn't be dealing with the issues that he's still dealing with. Deep down, that's why I got involved in this, because we can make a difference, she said. The difference, which starts with destigmatizing mental illness, is going to be personified in the 56-acre WakeMed Whole Health campus that will include both the 150-bed mental health hospital and an adjacent 45-bed acute care hospital. Mental health has been siloed from physical health for far too long. A physical health hospital is a community landmark, but the mental health hospital has been hidden away, far out of sight, not sitting proudly on display, said Dr. Micah Kropansky, chief medical officer at WakeMed Mental Health and Well-Being. That has to change. So we came up with the idea for a whole health campus that blends mental health care with physical health care. Because that's how diseases show up. Human beings have mental, physical, and spiritual health needs, and we want to honor that in the care we deliver. The Whole Health Campus is designed to be welcoming, bright with natural light and outdoor spaces, and with an ambiance where people can feel comfortable. When someone comes in crisis or to see a family member, we want you to walk proudly in the front door, not looking down and hoping no one recognizes you. We want you to immediately recognize the space as a healing environment. Know that you're taken care of and safe, Kropansky said. The stigma surrounding mental health has been reinforced by institutionalized settings that focused more on confinement, often in the interest of safety, than on compassion. I've been in those institutions that lock the doors behind you when you walk in, that aren't bright or open, and that don't give patients any autonomy over their own lives. And this hospital is going to be different, Bratton said. But the differences that respect patient autonomy and dignity are not going to compromise safety. Kropansky, who served as a senior patient safety officer prior to coming to WakeMed, said patient safety is always prioritized in mental health care. This is a unique opportunity as a psychiatrist to think about how we shape human behavior and create the desired environment as we plan the whole health campus. We can't do this the way it's always been done because mental health care hasn't innovated in the same way as other areas of medicine. So we pushed ourselves to think how we take mental health care to the next level. It started in May 2024. When WakeMed Mental Health and Well-Being assumed management of WakeBrook, a 28-bed inpatient mental health hospital near WakeMed's main campus in Raleigh that had been closed in 2023. We've been very clear that the principles we are talking about for the whole health campus will be practiced at WakeBrook. So from day one, our staff has been trained that we want the hospital to be seclusion-free and restraint-free, Kropansky said. At the end of its first year, WakeBrook had served 1,200 patients with 99% fewer seclusions and 95% fewer restraints than the benchmarks in similar hospitals. The path to the $50 million campaign goal is also progressing, with roughly $35 million in pledges and monetary gifts raised so far, plus another $18 million provided in three $6 million increments from Wake County, the state, and federal funds. Raising $50 million in the healthcare industry is tough, but I want to raise all the campaign goal from our community because it's important for the community to be able to say we did it, Bratton said. In fact, most of the seven-figure donations have come from family foundations in the Triangle. Town Bank has pledged $1 million to the campaign, and Brian Reed, Triangle president of Town Bank, said, "Every time I ask business leaders if they know anybody who has had mental health challenges, the answer is yes. So this campaign is important for everyone in the community." Let's switch back to the special report on the state of aging in this week's Triangle Business Journal and have a couple more articles. Niche retailers cater to an older demographic. As Joseph Gendy prepares to open his indoor golf venue at the Falls River Town Center in North Raleigh, he's keeping retirees and seniors top of mind. Back Nine Golf will be in close proximity to the senior living community, Atria Oak Ridge, when it opens this winter, and Gendy hopes to turn many of them into members. "This is a great place if that population is looking for activities and hobbies," Gendy said. "Playing indoor golf provides advantages that an outdoor golf course cannot. Some individuals may not have the fitness required to walk an 18-hole course. Others may have mobility issues getting in and out of golf courts. And for those golfers, playing indoors is one solution. Back Nine Golf can simulate famous golf courses from around the world, and it also has the technology to track and improve golfers' swings." With his background as a home care physical therapist, Gendy is also looking forward to using his expertise to improve the mobility and form of his golf members. Back Nine Golf is just one of many indoor golf venues swinging into the Triangle, and all of them have the opportunity to cater to seniors and retirees with disposable incomes and free time. Beyond indoor golf, venues for indoor pickleball, another popular sport for the 65-plus demographic, are also on the rise. Small business owners aren't the only ones thinking about pleasing the older crowd. Marty Sweeney, Senior Vice President at M&J Wilco, has seen a notable shift as a longtime shopping center owner and developer. More stores are offering curbside pickup to make shopping easier for older adults, while retail managers have started offering special parking for seniors as well. Sweeney has tracked the explosion of food and beverage options at shopping centers compared to what was available decades ago. He credits empty nesters looking to leave the house with their disposable incomes as part of the demand for more eateries. Retailers like Panera Bread and First Watch, with their robust breakfast options, cater to an older population, while soft goods retailers like Marshall's, TJ Maxx, and Home Goods are also a big hit, he said. While enclosed shopping malls used to be the realm of seniors, those have been in decline across the country, with seniors opting for open air or lifestyle shopping centers instead. Sweeney stressed the importance of providing seating, landscaping, and shading, or murals at M&J Wilco's Knightdale Marketplace, for example, to improve the shopping environment for those seniors. M&J Wilco also owns the Forum in Wilmington, a 100,000-square-foot shopping center that's gaining steam thanks to the retirement boom on the coast. "It's a very busy shopping center," Sweeney said. At the Forum, day spas, home accessory stores, and medical retail, such as plastic surgery or weight loss centers, have taken off due to the silver wave on the coast. "You're seeing a lot of those types of services, and they're higher end," Sweeney said. Another booming category for retail that appeals to seniors, veterinary services. About 55% of adults ages 50 to 80 are pet owners, according to a study from the University of Michigan. There's a level of higher-end veterinarians that cater to an older, more affluent crowd, and they want to be in these lifestyle centers, Sweeney said. Shoe stores like Good Feet and Skechers continue to be strong retailers for the aging population. This year, private equity firm 3G Capital acquired Skechers, a shoe company that skews toward an older customer base, signaling continued growth for the $9 billion company. Skechers currently has 10 stores in North Carolina, according to the company. Retailers certainly target multiple demographics beyond just the 65 and older crowd. But for business owners like Gendy, he's not treating them as an afterthought and hopes his efforts can help improve their quality of life. "I hope that when I'm 90, I'm still able to play golf," Gendy said. And how do older workers fit into the Triangle Jobs growth? Vulcan Elements, 1,000 jobs. Aspida Financial, 1,000 jobs. Novartis Gene Therapies, 700 jobs. The economic development announcements keep coming, drawn by North Carolina's talent pool. But with an aging population, can the state keep up? And can older workers get in on the action? Right now, 18% of North Carolinians are 65 or older, a figure expected to hit 21% by 2050, according to a report from the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. They're not just sitting still. 17% of that age group is actively in the labor force. It's a balancing act, officials say, as they aggressively recruit companies looking to expand or relocate. I do think we'll have enough workers, said Lee Lilly, North Carolina Commerce Secretary. Working age adults are migrating to the state for the same reasons companies are, cost of living and quality of life. But upskilling is key, he said, which is why training programs are often part of incentive packages, and they don't just target young talent. Upskilling mid- and late-career employees has been a priority for the department, he said. These types of announcements present optionality for someone in the workforce, Lilly said. It can be hard in mid-career to change directions. Recruiting firms with high salaries help attract seasoned talent. In the case of Aspida, for example, average salaries are expected to be $137,288. Novartis will pay $111,161, according to what the company told the state. When we recruit these jobs, we want them to be better paying, Lilly said. We want them to be, frankly, a financial incentive for people to look at their options. Retaining older workers is critical to securing management talent needed to keep companies thriving. Blank Stevens, Senior Vice President of Alexandria Real Estate Equities, told the audience at recent TBJ panel that clusters of like-minded companies create a homegrown management talent pool, something that's hard to recruit. When people leave those companies, the hope is they're hooked on the triangle. Instead of going back to Boston or San Francisco, they stay, either joining another firm or saying, maybe I'll start my own company here. We do have folks that moved here in the pandemic that represent management talent, Dave Osterott, general partner of Cape Fear BioCapital, said at the same event. We have to stop them from leaving. I want that management team to stay. They reinvest talent and capital. Programs aimed at non-traditional college-age students are also gaining traction among older workers. Andrew Kelly, president and CEO of Project Kitty Hawk, which received $97 million in pandemic relief funding to educate adult learners, said demand for upskilling older workers is real. While the average age of enrollees is 33, the distribution is pretty wide, and we're seeing people in the older age groups, he said. The goal is to help older workers secure credentials in order to be more resilient in a tough job market, but it's a big challenge. When layoff rounds hit, it's harder for an older worker to find a new position, statistics show. In 2017, data from the North Carolina Department of Commerce shows 61% of job seekers aged 55 and above were reemployed one quarter after their layoff date, compared to 68% of job seekers aged 25 to 54 and 74% of those younger than 25. The former IQVIA home is getting a major refresh. The owner of the former IQVIA headquarters overlooking Interstate 40 is investing millions in upgrades as the building's namesake tenant officially exits its lease and a potential new tenant emerges. IQVIA vacated the 260,000 square foot building in 2023. Drawbridge Realty of San Francisco will spend $10 million on adding and upgrading amenities in the Imperial Tower at 4820 Emperor Boulevard, where life sciences company IQVIA used to be based. TBJ previously reported that Aspida Financial has its sights set on the 11-story building for its new Triangle headquarters, part of plans for a 1,000-job expansion. But the company may not be the only tenant in the building. Mike Embry, managing director and senior vice president with Drawbridge Realty, said Drawbridge plans to turn the building from sole tenant to multi-tenant. Here's a local impact article. A Michelin nod proves to be great for business. Weeks after his six-month-old Raleigh restaurant received a Michelin Bib Gourmand Award, Marshall Davis is reaping the benefits of that recognition. The inaugural Michelin Guide to the American South honored 19 restaurants in the Triangle November 3rd. Mala Pata received a Bib Gourmand Award, recognizing quality dishes at a great price. reservations have tripled, and Davis estimated that Malapata's revenue is up 10 to 15%. Patrick Woodson, owner of Brewery Bavana in downtown Raleigh, has seen a 30% increase in sales and reservations since the restaurant landed on the Michelin Guide's recommended list. Christopher Prieto, owner of Prime Barbecue in Knightdale, estimates that his foot traffic is up 20%. Sales have increased 20% as well. It's been a little chilly this week, and unfortunately, RDU is losing a flight to a tropical getaway. Startup carrier Bermuda Air is leaving Raleigh-Durham International Airport in early January, less than a year after launching flights between the airport and Bermuda. It is the only direct flight from RDU and the island nation in the Atlantic. Bermuda Air spokesperson Andrea Spiegel said the decision was business-related and demand-related. Unfortunately, we're just not seeing the market mature fast enough, she said. We don't rule out resuming at some point, but at this time, it was just a tough decision we had to make. We're really, at this moment, just trying to strengthen where we see the strongest demand. The RDU service ends January 2nd. The airline has been reshaping its U.S. footprint, suspending other markets such as Hartford, Connecticut. The airline will soon serve just 6 U.S. markets and 3 Canadian markets. Sticking with airlines, Breeze is switching up its California flights in the new year as well. The airline with the most nonstop destinations out of Raleigh-Durham International Airport is switching up its flight schedule for 2026, including swapping out its flights to Los Angeles. Scheduling date from OAG shows budget carrier Breeze Airways plans to drop its RDU LAX route and replace it with a flight to John Wayne Airport in Orange County, California, starting in May. Around the same time, Breeze plans to add 3 new routes to Stewart, New York, Bangor, Maine, and Vero Beach, Florida. Bangor and Vero Beach are planned as seasonal summer routes. The LAX flight will convert to Orange County for the summer season, running Fridays and Mondays from May 29th through August 17th. The flight to Orange County was highly requested by the airport, so we're excited to make the option available, an airline spokesperson said. Breeze is also planning to add a 200-job crew base at RDU. We're just growing and growing in Raleigh, according to the Breeze Airways CEO, David Neeleman. A local developer is adding homes in Holly Springs. A proposed neighborhood in Holly Springs would be next to a public park and recreation center as the town in southern Wake County continues to grow. Raleigh developer Truswell Property Group has submitted a rezoning application with a major subdivision plan to the town for an infill parcel along Grigsby Avenue adjacent to Parish Womball Park. The property is zoned neighborhood residential, and the developer is requesting to add conditional district to allow for more flexibility in design and type of residences. The subdivision plan shows there would be 21 for-sale units, 12 single-family homes, and 9 townhomes, which means a density of 3.6 units per acre. In addition, Truswell would perform roadway improvements to address some of the pedestrian safety and traffic congestion concerns along Grigsby Avenue. Holly Springs has seen rapid growth in recent years, with a population nearing 50,000. And here's a new concept article. A chicken chain is picking a spot for Triangle debut. Saqiba Iqbal, along with her husband and their 2 married friends, has signed a lease for 2,588 square feet at 1125 Hatches Pond Lane in Morrisville, with plans to open the region's first Super Chicks Chicken and Custard next spring. Morrisville will be the restaurant's 3rd North Carolina outpost, joining 2 others in Charlotte. Iqbal was attracted to the spot for its proximity to Wegmans and a busy area. Plus, the space, formerly home to the Mediterranean restaurant Metze, came with a patio. The owners plan to hire 30 to 35 employees. They estimate construction and build-out costs at $500,000 and are funding the restaurant through an SBA loan and personal capital. Nick Wimette founded Super Chicks in 2014 and opened the first location in 2015 in Dallas. The company has grown through franchising to approximately 45 locations. Iqbal plans to open 5 Super Chicks in the next 6 years. and a new group snags Oyster Bar parking lot. The parking lot of 42nd Street Oyster Bar in Raleigh sold for $4.5 million as a new ownership group consolidates the property. The buyer is Raleigh's Hobby family, owner of the building that houses the restaurant, according to Wake County deed records. Brad Hurley and John Vick sold the parcel through 42nd Street Associates. The transaction comes on the heels of news that longtime general manager Hunter Coral is part of a new ownership group. And apartments are now planned for part of a golf course. The redevelopment of a portion of the Raleigh Golf Association property is moving ahead. Apartment developer and management company Dominium recently filed site plans with the city for its apartment project off Tryon Road. The 370-unit complex will be built on the north side of Tryon Road on what is now a portion of the RGA golf course. Site plans show there will be 48 one-bedroom units, 72 two-bedroom units, 158 three-bedroom units, and 92 four-bedroom units across 22 buildings, each three stories. The units will range from 771 to 1,465 square feet. In Morrisville, an office building drops millions in price since 2019. A fully leased office building in Morrisville has been sold for nearly $20 million below what it traded for in 2019, evidence that the Triangle's office market remains sluggish in some areas. Olive Point Capital of California acquired 3900 Paramount Parkway for $33 million, according to Wake County deed records. The seller, W.P. Carey, paid $52.35 million for the building in 2019, a 37% decrease in price, despite the assessed value increasing by 34%. The 224,850 square foot building is assessed at $38.9 million according to tax records. It was built in 1998 and renovated in 2020. The building is on 10.84 acres between Research Triangle Park and Raleigh-Durham International Airport. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. We've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Again, I'm Christy Walters reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Have a good day.